Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to Hashtag. W-A-W. What a week.
What a week. Week.
Ata, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Wow, What a Kid. The What a Kid series focuses on under 35s. I think he only just makes it. You only just made it.
Yeah,
he
just arrived.
He's just arrived.
in the 30s.
We focus on under 35s that either we feel you ought to know about, or under 35s that inspire me, or under 35s that remind me of my journey when I was under 35. This young man has been kicking butt since he was a teenager. In fact, when he was in primary school, he used to listen to me on the radio with his dad in the car. And his dad once said to him, one day, YFM gig guides will have both of your names to say you're playing at the same gig. And today is that day. He's coming up next.
This is
Wow!
What a week. What a week. This kid really kicks.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest, Wow, What a Kid. He kicks ass. He's an incredible DJ. He juggles decks like some DJs juggle baby mamas. Please make some noise. For a young man who got his name from being a video vixen, he was in a music video playing a villain, and Lebza the villain was born.
Yeah.
Make some noise for Lebza the villain.
Those intros always give me goosebumps.
And you know they're all from the top.
Is it?
I write nothing down, though.
Ah, Lil Wayne.
I write nothing down, but because I am interested in people and their stories, I forget nothing. That's probably why I got a distinction in history, because it's people's stories.
That's interesting.
You see, absolutely.
No, I didn't know that. I thought they were all written.
No, nothing,
they,
dog.
They're very beautiful.
They're freestyler, papa.
Ah, ninja.
Welcome, my dude.
Thank you, my man. Like I said, goosebumps, and it's very exciting to be here. You're doing well, by the way, with this. This is amazing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, and I was like, yo, one day.
In fact, one of the first things you said as you sat down was, Ish, I wish Dad was here.
Yeah.
Tell us about Dad.
So, as a kid, you know, your dad is the man of the house. He's the head of the house, and there are a lot of differences, like you clash a lot, and only the older I got, that's where I was like, ish, okay, I understand these teachings. And most of the, like, my dad will never say he loves you.
Yeah.
You'll never hear that in his life from his mouth.
But you felt it.
Yeah, but the certain motivations and the way he speaks to you, you can tell that because of discipline and his discernment as a man, that's the love that's coming through his voice. And he doesn't have to say I love you, because that's gay.
Sure. Yeah.
But essentially, when he's teaching you and he's telling you, don't do this, do that, move like this, don't move like that. And some of the motivations as well, like I said, when he heard your name on the radio and I was with him, and that's when I started DJing, he was like, one day you're going to be like this guy.
How old were you when you guys were listening to Fresh Breakfast on YFM?
I think I was 13, 14, somewhere there, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the gig guide. And the gig guide was a big thing on YFM. Like,
absolutely.
Everyone was like, we just want to hear where you at. And I was with my dad. My mom has sent us to do some errands. And then he was like, yo, Fresh, one day they're going to say your name out. And at that time, I didn't get it, you know. I didn't get what he meant. But that still stuck with me today. And
absolutely.
I'm 33, by the way. So.
Growing up in Ivory Park. Let's talk about that quickly.
Yo, Ivory Park, it was obviously Gikasi, you know what I mean? Gitembisa. I grew up with my granddad and my grandparents, basically, and churchgoers.
Mm.
So Wednesday, we went to IPCC. So Wednesday, Saturday, you are in church.
Yo.
Yeah, so they'd always drag us. But I think what really motivated me about coming from the hood was just to see the entrepreneurial spirit of people. You know, my grandmother had a spaza shop. So we'd wake up at 4 a.m. to open up for the bakery. And God forbid it's your turn to open up for the bakery and you don't wake up. You're getting belts.
Yeah.
You know, so those kind of teachings motivated me to become who I am today, and just the go-getter mentality. So sure. I think that's one of the biggest things that stand out for me about coming from Kokasiko, Ivor.
What was the dream, let's say in primary school?
Yo, I always wanted to play music.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was this one day ago in primary school, they had career day, and they were asking people, what do you want to be? And kids are coming out, they want to be pilots. And then at that time, I'm like, I want to be a DJ. And everyone just looks at me like, bro, like,
what's that?
Like, that thing doesn't exist, you know. So I've always wanted to, and I thought, for me, DJing and music was always a form of escapism and just not dealing with the world at that moment, you know. So yeah, I always wanted to play music. I always wanted to chase it. That's been my dream since primary school.
You know what I've realized? What I've realized is a lot of what becomes our default setting as adults goes back to what our dreams were as kids. But sometimes we only realize it in hindsight. I'll give an example. So the other day I was with my parents, and my dad's friend was with him.
Sure.
And you know, he reminded me that when I was about 5-6 years old, whenever they'd visit my parents, I'd insist on playing my dad's records for them.
For them, yeah.
And I'd for some reason, I'd totally forgotten that memory. But when he re-jogged my memory, I realized that that is true. Whenever there were visitors, I'd go to the gram, as it was called.
Like a gram.
Go gramming. And because my old man had a massive like music collection, like there was like 12-inch vinyls, there were full LPs, there were 7-inch vinyls. Sure. And our gram, you could pile 10 records. It would play one. Mm. When it's done, it drops the next one.
Oh, that's nice.
And my dad's friend...
You're a cheese boy, my man.
From day one. Me, I'm not going to romanticize and say, coming up, there was zero struggle.
Yeah, I know. Those ones I've never heard. This is my first time.
The only struggle was trying to convince your parents that you don't have to be a lawyer.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But the point I'm making is, but that carried on. Even when my friends would visit,
yeah,
I'd play the music. And I look back, I'm like, I've been doing this since I was 5 years old.
It's on a lady stock fellow, you know, at home when they all gather by Zali stock fellow, you're always that kid that wants to show people that, oh, there's a song that I have.
Exactly.
And I want you guys to hear it. And they all ask, hey, whose song is that? Who's this? So, I won't lie to you. I share the same sentiment. I was also that kid.
Sure.
Graduation parties, crutch parties. I was that kid that, can I play music? Yeah. And fast forward, here you are.
And look at you now.
Ish.
Let's talk about the YFM aspect of your career. How did YFM happen?
Okay, so my mom was working at Rosebank Mall, and she was the ladies that obviously clean up the mall and stuff. And one day she comes home, she says, "Eh, what's bana ba go YFM ba khata khata ke clean mall?" And I'm like, wait, you said something. Bana ba go YFM. And now she's like, yeah, where I work, there's this big window.
Yeah.
And then these kids are always in there and they're speaking to mics. Yeah. And I was like, you have to take me to work.
Yeah.
So she took me to work one day and I got there and I saw this red logo.
Yeah.
And I just, my blood just started boiling.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like very addicted to the station.
Sure.
Kokasi, when you're washing cars on Saturdays and you're listening and, you know, you go to school, you start discussing it. So then fast forward, I was always interested in the Y Academy because I thought that was my stepping stone into YFM. But I applied 3 times and got rejected every time.
Yeah.
Only on the 4th time, that's when I got accepted into the Y Academy. But I was always on YFM before that.
Yes.
I knew Olidia Otlinang.
Sure.
And I knew the security guard. So I'd get there with like a Coke and be like, show malume. And be like, yashalala ntwana. And then when I sit there, the old lady would come and tell you what's happening in the building. Oh, that one's moving. That one's getting fired. So you start learning.
So you knew all the gossip before all the staff did.
I also knew when the openings for Y Academy was.
Yes.
So that's when I applied for Y Academy and I was doing my first year as well. So I was juggling Y Academy and full-time school. And one day, I'm on YTKO with Shimza.
Sure.
Waras is doing the show. And Shimza forgot to send his cue sheet to Dumelo. But this was like an every week thing where he wasn't sending cue sheets.
Yes.
So he comes to me, he's like, "Yo, villain, I need help, dog.
Yeah.
Dumelo's pissed. I need you to start writing every single song that I play on YTKO.
As I play, write it down, yes.
So there I am with the laptop as he plays. I write down the songs. Then I start learning how this works.
Yeah.
Then obviously I cannot forget more flavor into the story. So I call him and I'm like, bro, I'm interested in the station. And he always like, yo, come through, come chill. And Ramotsiva Mo, Kabo Vaindal Wahai. The first thing he did for me was introduce me to the pro trackers.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That makes sense.
Yeah, when he was interviewing them. So. Yes. And then after Y Academy, I did not receive any job or anything from YFM. Only a year later, I got a call from Stabora, and then the YTKO platform was available. And he was like, yo, bro.
In fact, where are your headphones? I think we need, can we
come down here?
Yeah, can we actually plug in your headphones so that since you brought this name up, we might as well play this for you. There we go. Are the levels fine?
Yeah. Yeah. More than fine, actually.
Yo, Fresh Man, hope you're good. Listen, the guy you're chilling with there right now is one of the most incredible human beings you can ever meet. And I speak from a personal experience. Outside of the fact that I met Lebza when I was still my crusty ass at YFM, and he just wanted to get into the industry as this young kid who was still in high school. Beyond his career, beyond his skill set and his abilities, Lebza is just genuine.
Mm.
And that's how he's been with me all along. He's reliable, he's honest, he's open, and he's willing to offer himself and give sometimes too much of himself with very little in return. I've experienced the best of Lebza, you know, and I can safely say that as a human being, he's one of the most consistent human beings I've ever met. You know what you're going to get. He's real. And he cares.
Mm.
He'll never drop you. And you can't say that about a lot of people, let alone in the industry. So I always wish him well, even when we can go weeks without talking just because of busyness and time. But, you know, I always have him in my mind and always think about how he's doing. And I watch his moves and I see how energetic he is and how involved he gets. I mean, what a guy. If there was ever a guy that I'd wished all blessings for, it would be this nigga right here.
Lebza, the villain. My dude.
Yeah.
Why are you in tears listening to More Flavor? Sorry, normally we don't bring Kleenex for guys because we assume it's guys. Smash up. This moment brought to you by Kleenex. Kleenex works even for villains.
It's just it's emotional, man. And I think for many of my years, I've just been like constantly on the grind, and you just never see what you do.
Sure,
you understand, and you get people who see it, and will only tell you at the right moment.
Oh, yes,
you understand, and I feel like I hear a lot of crap from Mo.
Yeah,
this is the first time where I'm literally hearing something that I'm like, okay.
I can work with that.
Yeah. It's not the pro trackers. So yeah, it's very emotional, man. And I know the role Mo has played in my career. I know the struggles we've both went through.
Sure.
And he went from just somebody I look up to a brother to a family member. So yeah, it's very touching for me. Like I said, sometimes you just never see the greatness that you do until somebody highlights it and be like, yo, Fresh, you're doing amazing, yo.
Mm.
And it's like a mirror, you know, to all the struggles and all the try. So, yeah, Mo Flavor's my guy, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, earlier on, you spoke about how you kept trying to get into the Y Academy, but they kept saying no. Why did you keep going back?
Nothing felt more purposeful for me than to be on that station.
Sure.
People like yourself, people like Bomo Flavor, people like Bo, Root Boy Paul, Kabzela, black names are endless. Bodineo, like when every time they were on that platform, that was the only platform that really resonated to me.
Sure.
As Ntwana Kokasi.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like Ntwana Kokasi, these people, they're from where we're from, you know, and they pushing boundaries. I mean, the story about the invitation,
the petrol bomb.
Yeah.
The YFM launch event invitation was a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
It was a petrol bomb.
It was a petrol bomb.
And it shook the industry a bit. Some people were actually even offended that the audacity of these young people.
And for me, that speaks to just being disruptive.
Sure.
Of what you actually want to achieve.
Mm.
And there was no platform to ever allow that to happen. Yeah. Besides why.
Sure.
And because of you, your youthful selves that were so bold, so inspired, and like, we want to cause havoc. I had the same mentality and I wanted to do it with DJ. Hence, I kept going back and going back. I didn't know, I mean, applying for Y Academy, at the time there was no mixes on the station.
Ah, yes.
But for me, I was like, something's going to happen when I get on there.
Absolutely.
Hence, I kept going back.
So by the time Y Academy decided, okay, kid, we're going to give you a chance, you're already doing first year at Boston Media House.
Yeah.
Take us through your journey at Boston.
So before Boston, I was at Saul Candy Institute of Music for the 1 year, because once again, a streamline, you know, both fresh are from there. So I just wanted to follow the same footsteps as Boy Euphonic. I was like, step by step, we're following these guys.
So let's talk about the Saul Candy Academy.
Yeah.
What did you learn there? And how did you end up in a music video that got you your name?
Yeah. So I was studying music production, sound engineer, and music business.
Sure.
That was my I even came out top class of 2011.
Cheers, boy.
Yeah. So at the time I was learning, I just wanted to know what you guys know. And that's where sometimes I feel like we also miss the opportunity to ask people, guys, what do these guys know that I don't know that gets them there? You know, so that's what I wanted to know. I studied.
So you wanted to reverse engineer the whole thing, basically.
You have to, you know, go back to go forward, you know. So I had to learn. And while I'm learning, I was wearing this, it wasn't this black jacket. It was another black jacket.
A cheaper one.
Yeah, because we up now. it was the first Candy Roots that was being dropped in that year. It was DJ Impoza, Hypnosis, and Cuba.
Sure.
It was the first compilation, Yes All Candy, that was 100% local, South African produced, you know?
Yes.
So the biggest song at the time was that just move your body, Yampoza. And they were shooting a music video for it. And they were looking for somebody to play the villain.
Sure.
In the music video, because they had the three superheroes and they had another superhero who was not there, who was Euphonic.
Yes.
So they send an email to the school. They say, hi, we're looking for extras for a music video. Please just send us a
head and shoulders.
So that we can
head
see.
Head and shoulders shot.
Yeah, so we can see who can include in the music video. I'm sending them like, what do I have to lose? I send it. I get a call immediately from the producer and he's like, I want you to play the villain. I need you to bring a cape tomorrow.
You know, it's not always a good thing when they see you and the first thing they think is a villain. This word.
Maybe I was just a problem child. They're like, villain. Yeah. And then next thing, we're shooting at Latinova. The club was still called Latinova. I think it's called Lewis now.
In
Rosebank.
In Rosebank, yeah.
So I pull up there. I meet Cuba. I meet the guys for the first time. And then we shoot. And the whole story behind that was that the villain was DJing.
Yeah.
And he was boring the crowd.
Ah.
And then the three guys would come in, punch the villain, and then take over, then play the song. Then the crowd is moving again.
Ah, yes.
And then once we're done shooting, we're sitting having lunch. And then Cuba is like, hey, bro, why don't you just call yourself the villain?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
So what was your DJ name at that stage?
It was just Lebza.
Nuli Lebza.
Yeah, Malebza. Okay. Wawena kokazi, wawu itza, hey, Lebza, Malebza. So
Lebzin.
Yeah, Lebzin. You know, those kind of things. And it wasn't really, it was just like one of those names, Takokas.
Sure.
And then Cuba's like, yo, take the villain and just add it to Lebza and let's see what happens with that. And I was like, yeah, but he says, no, now there's a story.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Sure.
And I said, okay, Lebza the villain. Little did I know that name was going to actually be something that's going to change my life, the life of my family,
sure.
and some of the lives of people who are also in the industry that I managed to come across in the journey. And then, yeah, that's how the Lives of the Villain came about. And also still at Soul Candy, because I was so annoying. I annoyed Ricardo Da Costa to a point where he had to give me a job at Spring Fiesta because I was pissing him off.
Yeah.
I wouldn't leave the offices. I'd be sitting there every single day. And it was like, you sit here, you do nothing. You are managing DJ Frankie's stage at Spring Fiesta. And that was my first time like seeing so many people in front of me. And it was this amazing event. The bug bit me.
Yeah.
I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go. And after that, that's when I rolled at Boston Media House, because Fresh is the face of Boston Media. Remember, step by step.
Absolutely.
I
want to
know what do these guys know.
Yeah.
So I went to Boston Media
House. They told me nothing about DJing, but carry on.
Yeah, this is just knowledge, you know, that I was gathering. When I got to Boston Media House, now I got the Y Academy as well.
Sure.
So now I'm in crap because I've got full-time class, I've got full-time...
So who's paying for your fees at this stage?
There's a guy, right? So obviously, Kitsogoka, see, my parents could only do so much for me. There's a guy...
Hence I'm asking.
Yeah. There's a guy who is from Botswana. He's an old man now, Mr. Rabana. And I remember my mom used to work for his company as well. And when I went to... When I was still at Soul Candy, it was like, my parents could only afford to pay for this. And then after that, it's like, yo, at the bond.
Sure.
So he once had a conversation with me and he's like, what do you want to do? What do you want to achieve? And I was like, I really want to learn about the industry, but I want to learn also what happens to grow my brand and those kind of marketing things. And he was like, okay, where do you want to go? I was like, I want to go to Boston Media House. It's like, why? I'm like, no, these guys are there and they're successful and I think I'm following them. So I want to, he's like, just go there, apply, bring me the invoice.
That is so dope.
I went there, bro. I applied. He paid for 3 years of my studies.
That is so dope.
Once off.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, wow. And all he said to me was, do not think by doing something for you, I want you to pay me back.
Yeah.
All I want you to do is pay it forward.
That is so dope.
And he said, the first place to start is with your family.
Mm.
So that has stuck with me since. And yeah, so after I graduated, I was like, all my sister's kids, are school.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's the guy that paid for my tuition.
So where is he now? And are you guys still in touch?
Here and there, you know, he's an old man now, but he runs an architect company. So he's very busy, you know. But yeah.
But he sees your moves though.
Yeah, no, we even call here and there, you know, how are you doing? I'm good. How are you know, how's mom? All of that stuff. But like I said, he's not the kind of guy that was like, because I did something for you,
yes,
I want you to come back and then start mopping my floors. No, he was like, live your life. If I can do it for you, just do it for the next person.
And often the greatest gift you can give anyone that gives you an opportunity is not to blow that opportunity.
Fact.
Sometimes that's all people expect of you. And it often breaks my heart seeing kids whose parents have nothing but will do everything to get them to a certain point and still they blow it.
It's sad. That's heartbreaking, because I also say to people like, people put their lives on the line to improve your life.
Sure.
And if they're going to do that for you, why would you choose to spit in that person's face? The least you could do is for them to sit back, watch you, and be like, I'm so proud of you.
Exactly.
I don't have to tell people what I've done for you.
Exactly.
I don't have to, you know, I'm just so proud that you took my gesture and you respected it. And that's where I feel like, for me, that was the core. I was like, I'm not going to disappoint. Forget him. I'm not going to disappoint myself.
Sure.
You understand? The opportunity is there, sharp. But I'm not going to disappoint myself. You know, that was the biggest thing for me.
Let's talk a bit about the parental support you got and why that was also a catalyst in your journey. I'll tell you why. You're from a very humble background. Your mom was a cleaner at the Zone. And your parents obviously have other children to worry about. But they still have this son who's got this massive dream. And they're still willing to encourage you, to run after that dream versus why don't you go find work or a two someone to let's talk about that, because not many parents will go that extra mile.
Sure. I think really for me was the fact that I was just a different child. Like I didn't come with the regular dream. For them, being a DJ and wanting to chase music was a shock in the family. And like, it wasn't a shock that really gave them a bit of worry. It was a pleasant shock. Mm. It was like, how are you trying to chase something that doesn't exist here?
Yeah.
How are you trying to work on something that we've never seen here? Sure. I want a musician.
Exactly.
I want a mutosha pakatara.
In fact,
Yeah. Did you take the right baby at the hospital, man? You know? Because my dad is in the military and my mom is a caretaker. So it was like, hey, okay. But for them, it was having the liberated idea and mindset to say, this is different.
Sure.
And we are not gonna push it away. We're gonna try and embrace it and see how far it goes. If it fails, that's fine. But given the way this kid is, we don't think it's... I mean, even my granddad knows. At church, I would sit on stage with the band, and the priest would even say, "Mwana wa tena, umo every week, mutlogeleng." You know what I mean? I was that annoying child, and because it wasn't a strange thing for them to hear that I wanted to chase music.
Yes.
It was, okay, what do you need now that we can afford to help you start?
Yes.
And I said, I need sound.
Sure.
And my dad was like, okay. Over the year, he saved up for it every single month. And then on his birthday, actually, I remember, on his birthday, he bought me two speakers and a mixer.
That is so dope.
And he comes home and he's like, go open the car. And I'm like, why? Just go. Then I get there, Honali speaker say two, the mixer, the amp. I lost it, you know, because I was like, I'm there. Yeah. Like, it was one step there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you start DJing the crutch, you know, graduation, the society, and you start bringing home that five clip. I say, Dad, look what I made. I'm like, how did you make that? Yeah. I'm like, no, because I can do this and they can pay for this service. And for them, it was like, you can do that?
Yeah.
Sharp. When I sold the sound, that's where it's like, oh, okay, now it's like you're losing it. I'm like, no, more fresh about some early sound never be.
You know what your story reminds me of? Your story reminds me of Euphonic's story.
Yeah.
Whenever things didn't make sense to Euphonic's dad, he'd say, yeah, but Fresh is doing it, so therefore it must work.
Yeah, I also said the same thing.
So the first time we invited Euphonic's parents to one of our gigs, it was a party at Vaca. It was one of our wild parties at Vaca.
Vaca Mata.
But I think they saw at that stage that, okay, this...
It's coming along.
It's coming along, and it will work. So sometimes you need to remind your parents that, no, but so-and-so says it works, so therefore.
And I was like, this is a case study, guys. Yeah. Like, trust me, you know, this guy does not travel with this thing. And then my dad was like, okay, from here on, what do you do? Because now you no longer have the mixer, you no longer have the sound. I'm like, no, I'm going to travel with the slapper bag and CDs.
Yeah.
He's like, how are you going to do that? I did it, and he was like shocked. He was like, okay, now we are moving, you know. Yeah. But the one thing that he also instilled in me was try get as educated as you possibly can about your craft.
Absolutely.
Whether it's learning how to play without CDs or vinyls or whatever, learn how it works in the back end. That's where Boston Media House came in, and I started studying marketing. You know, you study communication. There's also a bit of law, copyright law, those kind of things that played parts. And when I graduated, he was there.
That was so dope.
And he's like, it's
aligning.
Yeah, now it's aligning because he was just so happy that my mind is not empty. Because that's what they think about DJs. You know, so yeah, that's basically how the parental support was in my life.
What conversations do you guys have now?
Right now, I think the conversations we have right now is mostly about just becoming a man, you know. And I think my dad's getting old. He's 60 this year.
60 is young. What do you mean he's getting old?
Yeah, but for him, it's like, yo, my boy, the energy I used to have to argue with you.
60 is the new 50. So your dad is still very young.
Yeah, so he's retiring this year. So he was like, we start speaking about responsibilities as a man.
Sure.
You know what I mean? To you know, when this conflict sit people down, you are the man now. They want to listen to you. Or they want to hear where you headed. What are your dreams for family? Or, you know, where do you see yourself at my age? Those are the kind of conversations we have. And it's shocking because my dad and I always had a, you know, a very bittersweet relationship, like I said, growing up. And now that I'm older, I understand more, you know, and I get it.
So you don't think he hates you anymore?
No. If anything, he loves me. Oh, one thing also I'll never forget about my dad and prioritizing family is that every year for my birthday, till this day, I get a cake from my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm 33 now. So he never says to me, now you're old. It's like every year I need to show a gesture of love to you that reminds you of how I feel about you.
Sure.
And I don't have to say I love you.
Yeah, but now you're at a stage where we can't get the same amount of candles.
Yeah,
it's just one candle.
You're lucky even if you get a candle. So, yeah, those are the conversations we have right now, mostly about life, about becoming a better man, you know, family. That's the most important thing. Mom is very vibrant. She's still there. She's my best friend. You know, I talk to my mom about anything. And my mom, there's no secrets there. You tell her something, next thing your cousin knows and your auntie knows, you know. But I think for her, that's her form of, yo, my son.
Exactly.
You know, I'm so proud of him. And I can't keep it in me because it's burning. But my mom has always been my best friend. She's still around as well.
You know what I've learned, especially with my old man, is be careful what milestones you share with him. Because for him, that's a bragging point.
Yeah.
So sometimes I do things and I just keep quiet. I'm like, I'm not telling this one.
I'm going to tell everyone. So when I tell even my enemies.
Dude, the other day, he's like, please. Like, when we moved into to our house 2010, 2011, he's like, send me a picture of the house. I was like, no.
Nope.
And I don't know who got to send him the house. Now it's framed in a picture in the living room. I was like, you see, old man. That's why I didn't send you a picture of the house.
Yeah, anyway. But our parents are amazing, man. And I think the biggest blessings we ought to appreciate is having both your parents.
Yeah. That's a superpower.
My man, it's one of God's best gifts ever, you know. And I don't take that for granted. And I really, really, really want my parents to know that I never forget them. And most of the things I do, their efforts were not for vain, you know.
Absolutely.
They invested in something and in someone, and that person is honoring them.
Sure. Speaking of honoring, I'm going to throw DJ names at you.
Okay.
And I need you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that name.
Sure.
DJ Chucks.
Yo, Chuck. Masina.
Yeah.
That's the guy that taught me how to DJ.
Yeah.
Also, Kokasi. So Chuck was a cheese boy kid, you know.
Sure.
He lived in Sandton, went to Saint what?
Yeah.
Or High Park High or something. And Chuck had the equipment.
Yeah.
Like, he was the guy that always had the equipment. And at the time, we are so hooked on 5FM with you and Kent and Euphonic on Wednesdays. We are just so hooked. And he starts saying to me, yo, there's Automix.
Sure.
I'm like, Automix again, you know. He says, come to the house. Yeah. I get to the house. There's this program there that Automix had looked so nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you do? He says, no, you take this, then you mix, and it's digital.
Yeah.
And then he started teaching me how to play Automix. Then it became very boring for us that we needed to... we needed to reinvent. So now there was this thing you could do with the mixer and take that aux cable and split it and put it in the computer, and it gives you two channels from Automix.
Yes.
And that's how he started teaching me to just, like, now let's do the tricks and let's play around. So Chuck played a huge role because he's a guy slightly older than me. The mentorship was, you want to be a great DJ, we're going to try make you great.
Yes.
But by first, you need to learn the craft, learn everything. So he taught me, like, we knew about harmonic mixing back then.
Yes.
Because Kent was doing it. We're like, why does his song sound, and kind of vocal is for this song? Like, no, there's this thing called harmonic.
Then
he started teaching me. And over the years, he just became a mentor, you know. And yeah, he's still a very, very good friend of mine. Actually, we spoke the other day.
Sure.
Yeah, so we're old now. He's got kids. You know, I don't yet. But yeah, I'm super, super grateful for the knowledge that he has imparted on me.
Sure. Shimza.
Yo, my Ash. And when I actually, yo, as I have 1400, you know, Shimza was always somebody that was willing to put me around his space. Because even in high school, he was still doing the one-man show. And Kotembisa, that was one of the biggest events we've ever experienced. So I DM'd him once on Facebook and I said, yo, I want to learn. I want to know how you do these things. And he was like, "Oz," you know, and he put me in his space and I started learning, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you build the brand. So Shimza became, once again, a case study, but it was very close to home.
Sure.
So I could say to my dad, no, look at that guy. Yes. He's right there.
He's one of us.
He's one of us. He lives here. He's there. He's doing this. You know, my granddad, look at this guy, you know. And I think that's where one of the, he's selfless when it comes to information and teaching. He will teach you certain things, you know, and sometimes people can see the kind of person that you are, you know, to be, do I give him this card or do I wait, you know, or is he here for the vibe or is really trying to learn, you know? And Shimza was that guy that was always teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching, especially when it comes to the events and putting up your own show, you know. So yes, even till today, he's the kind of guy that will call me and be like, "Hey Joe, don't do that, dog. Don't you know what I mean?" On YFM, my first mix on YTKO, I'm thinking I'm killing it, my dog.
Yeah.
I get a call from Shimza after the mix and he's like, "You do understand that if you are not gonna kill it, somebody else will."
Yeah.
And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "No, my man, you're playing nonsense.
Yeah.
So you need to up your game to a point where you are so great at what you do that it looks like there's no replacement for it."
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's one of my mentors actually.
He's that guy to you.
Yeah.
More flavor.
Your family. Family, brother. Man, I wish. Is that brother that I never had. So I don't have an older brother like that.
Sure.
But Mo came in and I became his little brother. He wasn't shy to involve me. He wasn't shy to sit around with me.
Sure.
He was only the guy of a Joe villain. Small things. You know, Mo was that guy.
Yeah.
There's a laptop in my car, go get it.
Yeah.
There's this, and you can see the trust that they have in you when those kind of small things are happening.
Yeah, it may feel like I'm not an ice boy, but it's bigger than just getting ice.
Yeah, it's because when it goes from getting, go get my laptop in the car to, Edjo, there's a stage there. They need somebody to manage the stage.
Yes.
These are all the artist numbers. Call them. Now the artists know your name. You understand? Sure. Those kind of small ripple effects. And it takes a lot for you to actually realize that these people are not belittling me.
Yeah.
They're not seeing me as just a small boy. It's actually plugging you in a way that when they leave, you still have that person's number.
Absolutely.
How I met, I think I had met you for the first time at one of Mo Flavor's events in Katlehong.
On New Year's Day.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And then you came up to me and you said, "I'm your biggest fan."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "How, dog?" Like,
yeah, yeah.
You?
No, because I never missed a single mix of yours on YTKO. So the fact that we're meeting at Mo Flavor's event, go Bahama.
Not
Bahama.
Nele Katlehong, what's that place called? I forgot that venue.
But it was on New Year's Day.
Yes.
I remember I just played at the Black Motion party.
And then you drove.
At Giant Stadium. Yeah. And then I came to that party and then I met you. And I was like, and I think that's the thing sometimes you take for granted when you are building, that you are still a person of influence. So someone like me will come up to you and say you kick ass because you kick ass. So you mustn't never downplay the moves that you're making.
I think I have such a mindset. It boggled my mind that Fresh said, "I kick ass." And it goes back to what I was saying when you play the voice note, sometimes the greatness you do, it just takes somebody saying it to you. And that's where you actually realize, okay, maybe I'm doing something right.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, speaking of Mo, you, as fate would have it, and I don't believe in coincidences, the day we agreed on you being a guest,
sure,
literally an hour later, Mo Flavor calls us like, "Oh yeah, me and Lebs are No, no, actually.
An hour before.
No, before I confirmed with you, Mo says to me, oh yeah, me and Lebza are doing an event. Mm. When are you available? Are you available? Blah, 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 blah. I was like, my guy, I'm busy literally Lebza trying to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. That was crazy because we spoke about you. So I'm sure you're aware of Night of the Villain.
Yes.
Which was the show that I created back at YFM. So Night of the Villain is coming back with the 4-hour set at Zone 6 venue, strictly house music.
That is dope.
So the idea is a journey of house music.
Ah, yes.
Old school to, let's say, commercial nyana after old school, three step, and then to the world, Afrotech. Yeah. So I was like, it would be so dope if I were to play a back-to-back with DJ Fresh and we played old school house.
Absolutely.
And he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll talk to him. Mm. And
well, he did.
Yeah.
And we agreed.
So yeah, when you called me, when you texted me and you're like, yo, we're doing the podcast, I called him and I'm like, hey, Joe, Fresh is asking me to pull up for the podcast. He's like, yeah, I spoke to him about the thing and in principle we agreed. Yeah, I was like, that's so dope. Mm. So yes.
And none of it was planned. None of it was the wildest thing.
Yeah, no, I hope they believe it. None of it was planned.
Sure.
And that's when the universe actually also agrees to some of your ideas and gives you the thumbs up to say, this is going to work. This idea of yours that you just planted in your head, and this is the guy that you asked to do it with, because I saw no one fitting to play an old school set than somebody who was doing house, fresh house flavors. My first CD was Colgate.
House Flavor 6.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
My first CD was Colgate. So
we shot the cover at a dentist on Colette Drive, literally opposite Video Town. So when I see that cover, I see the dentist practice. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so that was my first CD, and I was like, it'll be such a moment for me.
Yes, sir.
To have DJ Fresh back to back. So yes, the idea is a 4-hour set back to back with Lebza, old school back to back, 3-step back to back, commercial back to back, and then Afro House is a 1-man hour where I'm gonna play Afro House.
So not the feature.
Yeah.
We're just there to sing hooks. I'm gonna be Patti LaBelle for an hour.
The dopest features of my life.
No, but listen, it's a dope idea and I can't wait to be a part of it, my dude.
I'm excited.
So when is the Night of the Villain?
It's going to happen on the 2nd of August at Zone 6 venue. So yeah, so just picture this. You walk in, no music is playing. There's going to be 4 hours on the screen.
Yeah.
That's going to be counting down until we close the venue.
Yeah.
So the first set is, I'm praying it happens from 10 or 8, 11.
Sure.
And then that's the old school set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we start with that and then we go. And then by the time I'm done playing, we're done. That's the journey of house music. We close the book and the venue shuts down.
Yeah. Until the next Night of the Villain.
Yes, until the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. Tumelo, let's talk about Tumelo.
Diago.
Yes.
Yo, Radumza. Radumza once sent me a message, right?
Yeah.
He had left.
For those that don't know, who's Tumelo?
Tumelo was the programs manager of YFM.
At YFM, yes.
Yes. So Radumza had left YFM and Stapora became programs manager. So when Tepo called me in to do YTKO, Tumelo wasn't aware that I was doing the mix. So I think there was a transition as well, and Tumelo was coming back. So he sends me a message, says, hey, Villain, I need you. And I'm like, who's this? It's like, Vanna, sorry, it's Tumelo, programs manager. I'm going to be joining Y, but I need you for something. And I was like, okay, let's jump on a call. He calls me. He's like, yo, I need you for mixes on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my man, I'm already on Friday.
I'm already there.
And he was like, perfect,
yeah,
because my plan works.
Yeah.
So he came in and he was just like pushing me and pushing me. And one thing Tumelo once told me was, my dog, listen to radio on Friday at 6 p.m. You are the only one. They're doing sports.
Yeah.
They're doing sports.
Sure.
They're talking.
Exactly.
You are the only one to deliver people to the weekend.
Yes.
Please murder it.
Make it count.
Yeah. And I was the first one to get a full hour mix.
Yeah.
on YTKO. Mm-hmm. A full hour. He was like, Libs are from 6 until 7, mm-hmm. last link. Mm-hmm. So he's an amazing guy. He's even now mentoring me and trying to get me to actually speak more.
Oh, yes.
And do radio, actually, mm-hmm. you know. And I once told him, nah, I don't want to do, like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to do radio, it's going to be more my house, yeah. that was happening, you know, so, because I really still want to showcase
a specialist show.
Yeah, specialist yeah. show. So yeah. he's now we're actually talking about that, and I'm sending him my demos, and mm-hmm. he's like, edit this, fix this. So Dumelo, yeah. Dumelo is one of those guys that is able to also just mold.
Yes, sir.
He sees a diamond and is able to cut it mm. and help it shine. So shout out to him.
Absolutely. Stapura.
Stapura was... if you don't know who Stapura is, Stapura yeah. was actually on YFM doing the Kwaito Hot 99.
Yes.
You know, and he was also the head of the Y Academy.
True.
What Stapura used to do was he knew that I was a DJ. So for every single YFM event, whether it be corporate or whatever, mm. he'd ask that one of his Y academics opens up the show.
Yes, sir.
And I was that guy.
You were the guy.
So he was always saying, Levza, you need to always carry your headphones and yeah. your
be ready.
Be ready, because yeah. you never know when you're going to get a shot.
Yeah.
And I always did that. I always had them on me. And he was always, Levza will play. Levza will play. And that's how now they start picking you up and start listening and hearing you. I'm like, okay, so he took a chance.
Sure.
You know, he took a chance on somebody unknown at the time, and he was like, trust me. So mm. he put a bet on the horse.
Yes, sir.
And then I... Good.
Yeah, pew, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so yeah. yeah, shout out to Stapura.
Absolutely. We are running out of time. Mm. Let's talk about music quickly. Your EP, Voiceless.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
So
Voiceless... The concept, the collaborations.
Yeah, so Voiceless was basically a concept of retransitioning back into Afro House music,
yeah.
because I had dabbled in piano and
yeah. you got lost for a while,
yeah.
and then you came back. And there's nothing wrong. Piano kicks ass. That days where I get into a venue, I'm like, I want to play piano for these people,
yeah.
and I play piano for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, because I mean, it's also just music, and yeah. if you're a music lover, some of them will catch you, you know.
Absolutely.
But I think I got to a point where I had to just sit down with myself and find out what I'm really passionate about, and house music and dance music is really my passion.
Mm.
And so I had to retransition. So Voiceless is a 4-track EP. It features some of the also upcoming Afro House producers,
mm.
and yeah, it's out there. You can check it out. It's Afro House music, and moving forward, that's what people actually hear sure. more of from me.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
Another thing that I don't know if you still do it or if you did it, is, you know, while a lot of DJs by quota, I know you're busy with National Quota Day. can we talk about the National Quota Day? What is that?
So, like I said, my National Quota Day for me was that thing, entrepreneurial spirit, Sakokas.
Sure.
My grandmother had a spaza shop, and mm. I saw growing up how much this thing mm. was such an economical tool mm-hmm. for most of the shops that go guys.
Yes.
Because my already buys a quarter, and then see next thing we have university. Yeah. You know yeah. what I mean? It uplifts the household.
I call it the go-go economy.
Yeah.
A lot of bokuku literally carry entire households.
Yeah.
On just this puzzle shop.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, that was very inspirational, because I come from that economy.
Yes.
And I wanted to shine a bit of light on Boma Oledu who are doing it.
Yes.
And did not have enough traffic at their shops. So I'd go around Tembisa, and I remember I went to Winnie's Tuck Shop,
mm.
and we had like a whole thing where I invited a lot of my friends. We mm. put sound up and just said, let's have quota.
Mm.
But I stopped doing it because I realized that the idea has been sparked.
Sure.
And I wasn't passionate enough to continue it.
I hear you.
So if the idea comes to you mm. and you are not going to take it to the level it needs to go to, the idea will go to somebody else.
Absolutely.
And that's what really mattered more for mm. me. Because mm. now, Quota Day is happening in Soweto.
Sure.
Quota Day is happening in Tembisa.
Mm.
When I look at the event to go Pitoro, you know what I mean? Mm. So that, to spark that for me, mattered more than actually owning the idea.
Absolutely.
So that was the concept.
My dude, we are out of time, unfortunately, but Night of the Villain is happening first weekend of August.
Yeah, 2nd of August, Zone 6 venue. Tickets will be out soon.
Yeah. What else are you working on, and how do we support that?
I'm working on music, number one. And number two, I'm working on also the education and teaching people how to DJ better. I realize that South Africa has become like Brazil when it comes to DJing.
Yeah.
And if we're going to have people who are going to leave the country and represent us, let them represent us in a good light. Let them,
at the highest level possible.
Let us teach them to this is how it works. Because if the world is looking at South Africa and you're going out there and being the face, they put our flag on the flyer when they book you.
Sure.
So let's help you improve that. So, I teach people how to DJ as well.
Do they come to you, or do you say, with due respect, I think I can help you be better?
I think it's a bit of both. There's some people that I've reached out to take it as an insult, but somebody who was really also worried about how they're performing and wanting to better themselves, they do reach out. So I've had a lot of big names that reach out. I mean, Waffles once reached out to me, Two Bunnies, you know. There are a lot of artists that are there that just need a bit of help, and they reach out. So,
one thing I've always argued for the last 25 years is when it comes to being technical as a DJ, very few DJs on the planet can touch DJs from Zanzi.
Yeah.
Like very few.
Very few.
Because, you know, you go to festivals overseas, you go to gigs overseas, you go to clubs, and you can hear that, okay, this guy is DJing, but at the technical level, they don't care.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, even your crowd want to know that you kick ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
true. And nothing beats even you not even hearing that, oh shit, that track is in already.
Yeah.
And it's done.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Once in a while, even as a DJ, you must shock yourself at how good you are.
Yeah. And it goes back to what I used to say. I'm like, I can count 4 or 5 DJs on my hand that I was like, these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Cleo, Fresh, DJ Kent, Euphonic. I used to ask myself, how do they get it right?
Mm.
There's something they know that I don't, but the information is there.
I'm going to find it.
I mean, I met Kent the other day at UR, and I said to him, my man, you know something I don't know. I want to know it. So, that's how passionate I am about the craft.
Absolutely. My dude, we see your passion. We appreciate your passion. We love your passion. And I'm a fan of your work, like I said to you, what is it, almost 10 years ago?
Over.
And please keep kicking ass. Keep at it. On the days where there's no fuel in the tank, call us and we'll help you refuel, whether spiritually or any other way. But
And I really wish I also could be the fuel that refuels people like you.
Mm.
Because there are...
That's why you're here.
There's a moment where I couldn't believe when you're going through something during COVID and it was so hectic, but you mentored me every Friday.
Yeah.
You called me every Friday at 4 p.m. I won't forget. It was our mentorship session is at 4 p.m. every Friday.
Yeah.
And I always used to ask myself, how is it that you're going through so much and yet still able to pour into my cup?
Absolutely.
So I really wish somewhere along the lines, I can also show you afresh how much you've played a role into my life.
I'll send you an invoice. No, I want cash. I want cash. I don't want attitudes.
I mean, you have enough farms for that.
I don't want attitudes and nice statements. Just send money, boss. You know, funny thing happened. I was at Rockets on Sunday.
Sure.
And there's a guy, he was a student in Cape Town. He's a boy from Zim.
Sure.
And I was playing at a Cubana. And I remember this kid. He was literally in my ear the whole time at this Cubana. But I gave him time because generally I give people time. And so he came to me and like, listen, dude, may I get you a shot? I just want to thank you because there was a time at Cubana I was very drunk, but you were very patient with me. You answered all of my questions and we even hung out. I was like, my man, I don't want a shot. Me, I only want cash. You know, he sent a waiter with a wad of cash.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
He's on the waiter with a wad of cash. Yeah. So my bill is like to the waiter, no, it's fine. Use this wad of cash to pay for the bill.
Yeah, that's your love language.
So use it, don't use it. If you can't send money, it's fine. Just send a text. My dude, I love you. I appreciate you. And I respect the work that you do. We'll continue to support you. We'll continue to sing your name from the top of every treetop.
Thank you very much, Fresh.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lebza the villain. is about to leave the building. Coming to you from Amp Studios, we are downtown Johannesburg and part of the Africa Podcast Network. You can get in touch by emailing waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and the crew at Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography. Shout out to YBF with all of the behind-the-scenes reels. If you see a reel behind the scenes and it's hot, YBF did it. If there's no reel, he didn't do his job. A shout out to Lati for the additional production on the show, and Keletso Modisa-King is our executive producer. But I think most importantly, shout out to you for being a part of this. And please, let's support our Wow What a Kid guests. They're under 35, they kick ass, and we need to make sure we sustain their careers until they retire. Till next week, have a Wow Week in spite of yourselves.